said, "What about my eyes?" He said, "Keep them on the road." I said, "What about my passion?" He said, "Keep it burning." I said, "What about my heart?" He said, "Tell me what you hold inside it." I said, "Pain and sorrow." He said, "Stay with it. The wound is the place where the light enters you." So tonight, I will share with you what I think are the three most important aspects of the first two noble truths. Number one, pain is inherent in life, but suffering is optional. Most suffering is self-caused, born from the meaning-making we give to underlying conditions of life that have this flavor of unsatisfactoriness and are painful. Our suffering is the result of craving and clinging to pleasure, wanting more, thinking that something more pleasurable is waiting and that will bring lasting happiness. It arises due to resistance to what is happening in the present moment. Our path to freedom, as instructed by the Buddha, is to directly know the causes of this suffering and to see its insubstantiability, its unreliability, its insubstantial characteristics. We investigate it for ourselves on the cushion and in our daily life. We turn toward the suffering and its causes. We feel the direct felt sense experience of it. Then left alone, without identification as my suffering, I am suffering, it passes. We find the entire field of sensory experience in our life is a constant flow of phenomena arising and passing away in this field of consciousness or awareness. The first noble truth is the truth of dukkha, suffering or stress. There's no single word in English that captures the term in Pali. Dukkha is broken down into two words, du, meaning bad, and ka, meaning empty. A reference I heard from Joseph Goldstein explained that the axle hole of a wheel is gone or empty. It doesn't fit, and it makes for a bad, uncomfortable, miserable ride. He apparently experienced this. Not only is it physically uncomfortable, but it's mentally or emotionally stressful. In English, we mostly associate the word pain with something physical and the word stress with a mental aspect, but dukkha encompasses both the physical and the mental landscape of our internal and external experience. In the Setting the Dhamma Wheel in Motion Sutta, the Buddha tells the ascetics that Steve talked about, "Now this, monks, is the noble truth of stress. Birth is stressful. Aging is stressful. Death is stressful. Sorrow, lamentation, pain, distress, and despair are stressful. Association with the unbeloved is stressful. Separation from the loved is stressful. Not getting what is wanted is stressful. In short, the five clinging aggregates are stressful." An example of this unsatisfactoriness of everyday life can be seen by looking at the body. There is ongoing care and attention needed each and every day to feed, bathe, clothe, make look good, and pay for its upkeep. Each day ends and we get up and do it all over again. Ugh. The body changes, we age, wrinkles develop, and we get dry skin and health issues. But it's not personal. Every being, human being on earth has a body that is subject to this stress, this dis-ease. But we suffer when we think and act on a forever quest or ideal of ourselves that we will be happy when I fix this part of myself or make this part perfect. Of what Venerable Panavati calls the stinky skin bag that is our body. Reflecting externally, reflecting externally on every corner of the globe, humans suffer. are suffering from war, famine, drought, injustice, oppression. In the Buddhist time, there was great savagery, war, and oppression, and it continues worldwide today. As long as there is greed, hatred, and delusion in the minds and actions of human beings, we will suffer. How are we choosing to relate to the experiences in our life and the world we live in? When does pain become suffering? The teaching is heard in a simile or parable of the second arrow. Anytime we suffer a setback, a disappointment, sadness, physical disease, two arrows fly our way. Being stuck by an arrow is painful. Being stuck by a second arrow is even more painful and is totally optional. It is the story making, rumination, the blame, shame, judgment we fix upon ourselves and others. If I blame and judge myself after overeating, that is when I suffer. I also set up the mental condition to do it again. So I have a habit, a daily habit of reading the news about Ukraine. I've gotten so angry and so sad. I have ancestors from that part of the world, but it's greater than that. And the reading isn't necessarily the problem. It's the negativity that arises from clinging to this idea that peace can and will be found in me reading the news. But if I don't wake up to this initial pain of having to witness the suffering, if I don't wake up to the commentary under the pain, which is the cause of suffering, I'll be in trouble. So there's this clinging of wanting, it's pleasure seeking. I want the suffering to end so I will feel better. I will be at peace. I will be happy when it's all over and all the cruelty around the globe ends and the bad people at the heart of it will be dealt with. The mistaken belief that I will find an end to the suffering out there is what creates, you know, the suffering inside. It disallows compassion to arise for all involved. Touching suffering grows the capacity to offer compassion for ourselves and others. Avoiding touching suffering conditions habit responses that keep a sense of separation between me and other, thickens this sense of self that's contracted through opinions, views, beliefs, and grows fear. So seeing through dukkha and into conditions of pain is necessary, a necessary beauty of our human lives. Pain is our teacher. If we didn't have pain, how would we know joy? If we all lived forever, what would be the motivation to seek a solution to our pain and to support others? And what would be the point of our life? So when we feel stress, rather than distract ourselves from it, we turn towards it to stay with it, attend to it, and eventually accept it. When we do, we have a chance at seeing it pass away. There is suffering. And you might have noticed I'm using the word stress and suffering in the same breath. So Cahil Gibran wrote this, "And a woman spoke, saying, 'Tell us of pain.' And he said, 'Your pain is the breaking of the shell that encloses your understanding. Even as the stone of the fruit must break, that its heart may stand in the sun, so you must know pain. And could you keep your heart in wonder at the daily miracles of your life, your pain would not seem less wondrous than your joy. And you would accept the seasons of your heart, even as you have always accepted the seasons that pass over your fields. And you would watch with serenity through the winters of your grief. Much of your pain is self-chosen. It is the bitter potion by which the physician within you heals your sick self. Therefore, trust the physician and drink his remedy in silence and tranquility. For his hand, though heavy and hard, is guided by the tender hand of the unseen. And the cup he brings, though it burns your lips, has been fashioned of the clay which the potter has moistened with his own sacred tears. So if we could just hold on that for a moment.